Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Seems like on a fairly regular basis we hear of citizens raising concerns about an Islamic organization considering the purchase of or actually buying property in their community. Did you know an Islamic Front group is trying to buy property in Newcastle? That's over in Lawrence County. This would be well located between Pittsburgh area and Cleveland. Could be used for a mega mosque, Islamic compound, or, you know, we really don't know why. But they are considering buying it, actually going through the process of beginning the bidding process and such. And my guest today is Pastor Bruce Leonati, and he'll help explain what's going on over there. Thanks, Pastor Bruce, for being with us.
You're welcome.
I think I probably butchered your last name, but...
That's okay.
Okay, that's okay. You're used to that, huh?
Yeah, I'm used to that.
Okay. Now, you're a pastor down in Westmoreland County in the Irwin area, but you're also associated with Act for America. What
Correct.
Is that?
Act for America is a nationwide organization of grassroots chapters that have about 750,000 members.
Wow.
The organization was put together by Brigitte Gabriel, and she organized it to try to help give information to people in different parts of the country about the Islamic Jihad that's coming into our country, and events and things that are happening every day that we can maybe use to watch out for that in our own communities.
Okay. She was in Butler County several years ago. I went to listen to her down there. And she is well positioned to speak authoritatively about the Islamic Jihad. There's no doubt about that because she told us some of her story and such and her concern for this nation as we blindly, in too many cases, just accept the Islamic rhetoric, I'll put it like that, at face value and don't look behind some of what's happened in other countries, I'll put it like that. Now, when we're talking about the situation in the Newcastle area, it's actually in Chenango Township, is my understanding, and that's just outside of Newcastle?
Correct.
And is this just a empty piece of property? How much property is it? And just what is the lay of the land over there?
Okay, the area was formerly called the Youth Development Center of Chenango Township. And it was a state, and it still is, a state-owned facility. It was basically a detention center for live-in juveniles, and they were, you know, they were there because of things they had done, and they ran a school there for them and had facilities for them. The acreage is about 145 acres. And it has 13 buildings on it. It's one of them is a school, swimming pool, gymnasium, and of course they have things that are like dorms because they had up to 300 residents there at one time and over 200 employees. So it's quite large, and interesting enough, it's surrounded by a barbed wire fence.
So it's all set up as far as use for a dormitory, for a school or anything like that, because those facilities are already there. I mean, that's not something, it may probably some minor repair and such to make it better able, you know, better able to be used and such, but it's not something that has to be built from the ground up. So we're not talking about an empty 145 acres.
No.
Established.
No, there are facilities there. There probably will be improvements because they actually closed the facility in 2013. So it's been, you know, laying empty there. Without attention for 4 years or so.
So the state owns the property, and it's been sitting empty since 2013 with all those 13 buildings. Give us some of the background with the bidding process, because there's some questions on the bidding process and how all this came about, who was bidding and such as that, and who finally won, you know, bid the largest amount.
Okay. Well, you know, there are rules to bidding in the state. And the issues that we're looking at are, were the bidding policies followed as they should be? And some of the things were questionable. For example, was the public properly notified about the bidding and the sale? Were the persons who made the bids somehow involved with each other? And I'll get into that in a second here. Also, the Department of General Services made no attempt to vet the bidders, you know, to know whether or not they can even pay for it.
Right.
I'll get into the bidders now. There were three bids made. One was made by an individual, Muhammad Asif, and he made a private bid of $300,000, which was the minimum bid.
Oh, that was the minimum. Wow.
Yeah. Well, the property at one time was valued at $17 million.
Wow.
And it was then reassessed by the township down to
That's a big drop.
Yeah, $3.5 million.
Okay.
And offered the minimum bid of $300,000. So, you know, there was a huge drop in the property value,
mm-hmm.
and that was initiated by the state. The state asked the township to reassess the property because they wanted to sell it.
Right.
You know, so that's what happened. Well, back to the bids. The first bid was from Muhammad Asif. It was for $300,000. The second bid came in was from a guy named Sumner McDaniel from Butler, and he bid $305,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then another bid came in from an organization called HIRA, H-I-R-A.
Mm-hmm.
HIRA really stands for HIRA Learning Services of North America.
Okay.
And they sometimes go also by ISNA, and that would be
ISNA.
Right.
I've seen that someplace, yeah.
Yeah. So that third bid was a corporate bid. But the interesting thing is that Muhammad Asif also goes by the name of Asif Kunwar.
Uh-huh.
He goes by two names. And he is also the president and CEO and founder of HIRA.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And HIRA only has two employees.
Two.
Mr. Asif,
mm-hmm.
and another member, Abdul Bassett. So there's just two employees.
Wow.
Now, so you have three bids.
What was the third bid? How much was the third bid?
The third bid was
$400,000.
$400,000. Yes.
$95,000 more than the
right.
Sumner McDaniel bid.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the state, and these bids had to be in by May 22nd.
Okay.
Then on June 1st, the state accepted HIRA's bid. And
After the deadline, wasn't it?
Pardon me?
That was after the deadline, wasn't it?
Well, they had made the deadline, but they officially accepted it on June 1st.
Okay.
That's when everything hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
Because then everything became very public.
Yeah.
At that point.
So it was pretty much, a lot of this sounds like under the radar screen.
Yeah, there were,
publicity?
Until June 1st, there were very few people that knew what was
wow.
going on in the township or the county.
So how could the folks in Shenango Township there in Lawrence County not know there was a bid on this 145 acres within their township?
Well, according to the press secretary of the Department of General Services, Troy Thompson,
mm-hmm.
they, according to his information, they do not have to notify.
They don't have to notify. I thought they had to do like legal notices and stuff with when it came to things like that.
Well, that's what we're trying to look into,
yeah.
the actual facts. But he made that statement that he really didn't have to notify.
That makes no sense. Seems like they want to notify so that there'd be more bidders, so there'd be some competition, and they could get as much money out of it as possible. That
right.
is a
right.
strange.
Now, it was put in, the invitation for bids was put into the Beaver Times. But the Beaver Times does not have circulation in Shenango Township or Newcastle.
So the part, the area that is being impacted by the bidding process.
Yeah.
Wow.
So those are some of the things we're looking into. Also, too, the Department of General Services did not try to determine if HIRA had sufficient funds or was qualified to, you know, even make a bid.
But they accepted the bid from an organization that they did not check to see if they have the $400,000 that they bid?
Right. The Department of General mm-hmm. Services did not do a vetting process.
And then what if HIRA writes a $400,000 check and it bounces? I think that'd be against the law in itself. But.
Well, it's interesting because HIRA, according to some reports I read in newspapers, and, you know, I have to just say that I've read them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this firsthand, yeah. but there are reports the IRS, their filings for 2012, 14, and 15 were less than, were gross receipts of $50,000.
Well, maybe they had a big surge in donations in 2016, maybe.
They were a corporate entity in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
But again, allegedly from some of the news reports I've seen, that was taken away from them because they weren't reporting. sufficiently.
Uh-huh.
And also their nonprofit status was taken away from them for basically the same reason.
But not for filing proper paperwork.
Yeah, the right paperwork every year.
So
you have an individual with a two-person company with the president living in an apartment in New York, New Jersey, making from the corporation $50,000 a year.
Wow.
Now, the reassessment value of the property has a tax of $80,000 a year.
So with the reassessed value, the tax itself is going to be $80,000 a year.
Yeah. And so
this organization has had reported gross receipts of $50,000.
Right.
That means if they're going to be $30,000 short in just paying the taxes if that $50,000 plays out.
If all this information is correct, that's accurate,
Plus, they have to pay $400,000 for the property, so I don't see where they're going to get $400,000, and the state did not. It sounds like they blew it when it came to the whole bidding process, and then they didn't vet the company or the organization that they accepted the bid from.
Right.
State trying to hide something?
Well, you know, your company or the state?
Well, both, really. I mean, you know, just the fact that the Shenango Township residents did not know about this bidding process until the state accepted the bid from HIRA on June 1st.
Right.
How are the residents of Shenango Township taking this news?
Oh, they're very upset.
Okay.
They had a meeting last week, the 15th community meeting. They had hundreds of people there. At the township meeting, and a lot of questions were asked about, you know, what happened and all this. And so, yeah, the public is upset, and that's why we're having another meeting Friday.
Okay.
Kind of an open forum.
And that's Friday, June 23rd.
Correct.
Okay.
6 o'clock. This will be in Newcastle at a small radio station there. And they'll be broadcasting.
What's the address? Do you know the address?
Yeah.
Because it's tragic that the thing is, it's state property, so can the residents really do anything because the state owns that piece, that 145 acres?
Yeah, that's the problem. The only thing is, they're not looking at the consequences of who they're selling it to.
Right. The state doesn't care because they don't, I mean, Governor Wolf doesn't live in Shenango Township, so he doesn't care.
Right.
That'd be my fault.
Yeah. Okay, here's the address.
Okay.
It's at the KBN Studios, 2801 Wilmington Road.
And that's in Newcastle.
That's in Newcastle.
And that's 6 o'clock tomorrow night, June 23rd.
Right.
KBN Studios, 2801 Wilmington Road in Newcastle.
And I invite
our listeners to...
Yeah. Now, I don't know what cable that's going to be on, but KDKA and...
Okay, so it's going to... Well, and what they'll do, they're not going to broadcast the entire meeting.
No.
They're just going to take snippets out of it and just do a brief story.
Right.
I'm sure they're not going to, you know, cover the entire...
No.
Broadcast the entire tape.
There's going to be some presentations I'll be presenting, and also there'll be questions and answers.
Okay.
Now, getting back to the process... Right now, after the bid, according to the state, after the bid was accepted, they had 15 days to come up with $35,000.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. I don't have contacts in Harrisburg, so I'm not sure whether that was even done.
Okay.
But then the state goes through a process of verifying the signatures, in other words, trying to find out whether these are real people with real names, and then the awarded bidder has 45 to 60 days to come up with the rest of the $400,000.
So they had to have $35,000 like a down payment by...
The 15th.
By June 15th. Okay.
Yeah.
But at this point, can they, like the state rep or state senator, could they knock on the governor's door and ask whether they got it?
Well, they as soon as they found out, they started sending letters.
Okay.
And all of them actually...
Opposing it, I'm assuming.
Yes,
okay,
obviously opposing it.
Okay.
And on Wednesday, the 20th, all the senator of that area, the district representatives, the township and supervisors all wrote... and signed one letter and sent it to Governor Wolf. So he has been notified.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all the elected officials for that area, from county up to state level, signed on to this then?
Yes, all of them, unanimously.
Okay, great. And from township level on up.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is good. And I would assume it's bipartisan?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Maybe that will carry some weight.
Yeah.
Because... it sounds like the state blew it on this just through the bidding process. It sounds like they intentionally did not go to advertise in any Lawrence County newspapers or any Newcastle County area newspapers. Because I think Newcastle has a newspaper,
yes.
I think. Okay.
Yes, the Newcastle does have a paper.
So they should have, they're trying to pull the wool over the eyes there, I believe, of the residents. I think they were trying to do that, and then they were found out on June 1st. So, you know, that's happening in Lawrence County. Do you think there's an effort? Because I went on the website, the HIRA's website, and it says that they're based in New Jersey, which you mentioned earlier, and they say that the organization is a consulting firm based in North America. We offer our services to the Islamic schools who are not getting the educational ads from the government. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but what caught my eye was Islamic schools. And went on to say, since its establishment, over 200 plus Islamic institutions and organizations throughout the United States have received counsel in the areas of strategic planning, board development, capital campaigns, recruitment services, and executive coaching. That's a lot of work for two people.
Well, I don't know how much of that they do.
Okay.
But I do know what we could find out they do.
Okay.
And basically what they do is, I'm sure you're familiar, that the federal government, through the FCC, has what's called E-Rate, which is a fund where schools that are not public can apply for grants for phones and Internet service.
Right, okay.
And so basically what HIRA did was they would go to an Islamic school somewhere all over the country and say, we'll do the paperwork to get you the money.
Okay.
For the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they would charge a fee on that.
Right.
Possibly. I don't know. And of course, you all know we pay for that because we get charged on our phone for that.
Right. Exactly.
Taxpayer funded.
One of the many taxes that's on our phone bill. Yeah.
Right.
The
exactly.
Bill every month.
Yep. So that's basically how they make money, or that's their main business.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that for Shenango Township and for the Newcastle area is that if they come in as a nonprofit, then there will be no tax revenue from this company. And, of course, the township and the county and Newcastle would like to be able to help with their financial problems with tax dollars, you know, on a corporation. If a corporation came in, they would be paying taxes that would go to the general fund of those areas.
Otherwise, there's like a 145-acre hole in the middle of Lawrence County, or in the middle of Shenango County, that is not taxable, but it's being used by an organization that we don't know a whole lot about, and the state did not do any vetting on it.
Right.
Do you happen to know the second bidder, Sumner McDaniel?
Yes.
Is he a businessman?
He's a businessman.
Okay.
He wanted to turn that into an industrial park,
which would have brought tax revenue into Shenango Township and Lawrence County.
Right.
Oh, wow. The fact that the first guy, there's no one going to even attempt to pronounce his name, the one who bid $300,000, the fact that he's a founder and CEO of HIRA, who was the third bidder who bid $400,000, that, to me, that's collusion. I'll use that word as a popular
word.
Well,
that's what everybody's looking into.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Because if a deal, according to the handbook of procurements for the state, if at any time after a contract has been made, if it has been found that the law has been broken in any way, that all goes into court.
Okay.
So,
now, what if they do if they would do any judge shopping as far as which court it landed in?
Yeah. So the window, we still have a window. It's not closed. Because the deal's not finalized because there has not been a closing.
Right, okay.
And also, even if there is a closing, if there is any evidence of any laws that are broken on either part, either the bidding laws or fraudulent, affidavit or whatever, it's all null and void.
It's okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So,
so there's still a chance that it will not happen, but yet we'll see. Everything's up in the air at this point because we don't know whether if they came up with $35,000 within the 15-day window they had. And none of this, it just smells to me like there's something fishy going on as far as the state not being upfront about the process, the bidding process, the advertising, and the fact that they did not vet the organization who came up with the largest bid, highest bid. So should we in other counties, in the other 66 counties in Pennsylvania, should we be concerned? Especially the more rural counties, Allegheny and Philadelphia County and some of the, you know, more metropolitan areas, they'll do their own thing.
Well, I think my concern is that the area will be turned into a refugee resettlement.
Okay. Center. And that could happen.
Because any organization can apply to be a contractor.
Okay.
For these refugees.
For the refugees, okay.
And then they find the place for the refugees to go. They have to have a place to go.
Right.
And so the contractor finds a place for the United Nations and the State Department to plant the refugees. And since this is already a facility that housed people, it wasn't a manufacturing plant.
Right.
You know, it seems like, you know, that could be
An ideal setting for that to take place.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Well, you know, I definitely encourage our listeners to try to make it to the ones who are in the area in Western Pennsylvania to try to make it to the Friday 6 p.m. meeting at KBN Studios, 2801 Wilmington Road in Newcastle. Because it's going to be a meeting, something like a forum.
Right. There will be speakers, and then the public will ask questions.
Okay. And you're going to be one of the presenters, one of the ones on the forum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any contact information where folks could contact you about, you know, not necessarily this issue or not necessarily this situation, but about the whole issue in Islamic textbooks in schools or something like that?
Well, if you want your listeners to go to my Facebook page.
Okay.
Act for America Pittsburgh.
Okay. Is that Act for FOR?
Correct. All small letter four.
Okay.
America, comma Pittsburgh, and we have a lot of information on what's going on up there, more detailed, and also too information on refugee resettlement, which is one of Act for America's kind of causes in recent months.
Yeah, Brigitte sees the danger of that resettlement as the U.S. forges forward without asking a lot of questions,
right.
Unfortunately. Well, thanks so much, Pastor Bruce, for being on top of this and for laying out what has happened and the process that has to go through and the apparent lack of transparency on the part of the state when it came to the bidding process, when it came to this entire process. And it's good that residents there in Shenango Township are concerned and that they are speaking out. That's good news for sure.
Well, thank you for your time.
Okay, and you take care, and hopefully I'll see you then Friday night.
All right. God bless.
Okay, God bless you too. Take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.